Today's podcast is brought to you by The Grace Curley Show. Listen daily before Howie Show. For station and times, go to gracecurlyshow.com.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
What about a mileage-based tax?
So I think that shows a lot of promise. If we believe in that so-called user pays principle, the idea that part of how we pay for roads is you pay based on how much you drive.
Hold on, everybody. We're making a U-turn.
A mileage tax showed, quote, a lot of promise as a way to help pay for the plan. Is that under consideration?
No, that's not part of the conversation about this infrastructure bill.
Gee, must have taken a wrong turn at Albuquerque.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The idea that the federal government gets to mandate that we're going to put something into our bodies or we're not going to be allowed to participate in society in the United States, that is not what happens in a free society.
It is the pledge of allegiance to the collective. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. And again, there's a new crisis at the White House involving Major the dog. Major has had a major setback in his attempt to become a good dog, a beautiful dog. And now
a beautiful dog, a talented dog.
Yeah. So there's a guy from the National Park Service who was out. I don't know if he was working on the lawn or what he was doing, but he was outside the White House, and Major just ran up and bit him. Nipped him. Nipped. That's one of those euphemism words for a dog bite. Yeah, when you're bitten by a dog, I don't think that's what you call a nip. You know, a nip is when someone else gets bitten. When you get bitten, it's a gouge, it's a gash, it's a gaping wound.
I believe his human mom, Dr. Jill, gave a comment to reporters today.
He's a good boy, a very good boy.
Yes, roll over, Major, roll over. He'll be back at the farm very shortly, and this may be the farm that from which no canines do return. All right, time now for the chump line.
Hi, Howie. Governor Patrick calling. Wow, I actually agree with Tucker Taylor. You definitely overpaid for those monkeys. Taylor knows a thing or two about shopping for junk. After all, he is a collector of Frank Sinatra records. We're going to be fine.
How dare you defame both my three wise monkeys and Frank Sinatra, the chairman of the board, at the same time. Others looked at those monkeys last night and said, those are above average looking three wise monkeys. They were worth the 30 or 40 bucks that I spent on them. You can still see them at HowieCarrShow.com. They're at the top of the page. The three wise monkeys. The three wise monkeys have been canceled by the University of York in the UK.
I want some photos of the markings on the bottom of these monkeys. I need an exploratory committee to see what these monkeys are really worth.
I'll check it out tonight, Taylor. I forgot last night.
Welcome to the Hotel Biden-Harris. Have a real good time on someone else's dime.
As long as you're not an American, you don't ever have to leave. Everything free at the Hotel America in California and Texas and New Mexico and Arizona. And coming soon to a flop house near you.
Was Jim Eagle a member of the Eagles?
I've got something about what Biden said about the Georgia legislation. Do you know he got four Pinocchios? It's amazing. Talk about a man bites dog story. The Washington Post gave Dementia Joe four Pinocchios this morning for all the BS that he made up about the new election law in Georgia. I'll read that when we come back. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, saying if you want to score some big points in this week's challenge to win a trip for you and your best buddy to go fishing with Captain Marciano, you'll need to follow directions and get creative. Go to MatthewsBrothers.com and click on contact page.
The CDC director has warned us of impending doom. I believe she's referring to the Biden-Harris administration.
I agree. I think that's what's more concerning to most Americans. That's the impending doom. And it's happening so fast. It took the Roman Empire, 400 years to fall? We're going down in a matter of months, if not years. Years, if not months, I guess I should say.
When Charlie Parker was asked to comment on the recent allegations about Andrew Cuomo, all he could say was, please tell me they were wearing a mask.
Yeah, we've got some more sound cuts from Charlie Parker. We played a few of them in the first hour of the show, but we've got a lot today. He was in a really, really obnoxious mood.
Well, there's a holiday coming up this weekend, and you can't let a good holiday go to waste for panic porn.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You have to. You know, I actually saw somebody today recently was describing the whole religion of the cult of the mask, COVID cult, whatever you want to call it, and said that part of it is, you know, you have to talk about people who didn't take the advice of the wise man, Pastor Bacon, and how they were punished. And that's
the lost souls.
Exactly. They're damned.
The wandering sheep.
Yeah, they'll spend eternity in hell because they wouldn't put on a mask. They wouldn't social distance. They had a party on Super Bowl Sunday. They didn't restrict their Easter ham dinner to intimate members of the family. And now they're in hell, fire and brimstone for eternity. Can somebody shout
just
amen?
Just think, we have to almost root for a senile president to stay in office. Because his replacement, the laughing hyena, would be worse.
I don't know. I find it really hard to get interested in putting any money on either of those two. I just want it to be over. Wake me when it's over.
Joe Biden here. I fired the Easter Bunny today because who the hell is he to tell me where to hide eggs? I can hide my own eggs. Not a joke.
That's the great thing about being Joe Biden for an Easter egg hunt. You hide them and then you can play along with the kids because you can't remember where they are either. I'll tell you though, when he said last week that he's going to run for a second term, I thought there's a better chance the Easter Bunny will be at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue on Saturday night, leaving some peeps for Major and Champ, than there is that he'll be running for a second term. There's no chance whatsoever. There's a better chance that the Great Pumpkin will be there on Halloween.
Not to disillusion any children that are listening, Howie, but the Easter Bunny just has trouble getting high security level clearance to access the White House.
Sure. You bet. Anything you say, Taylor.
Pete Buttigieg said he got the pay-as-you-use idea from Hunter Biden.
Yeah, the only thing is, I don't think Hunter Biden ever produced any kind of services for Burisma or any of the other companies that were seeking out his expertise.
Lonnie, I can't believe the Monkees are getting canceled. They had so many marvelous songs, like Light My Fire, Wild Horses, and the namesake of my yacht, Let It Be. Apparently, there were three members of the band. I think their names were Davy Jones, Mick Jagger, and Jingo Starr. Now I see why they're getting canceled.
Yeah, he prefers James Taylor to the Monkees. Where is James Taylor now? Is he on that? Is he on those jets with the climate czar, John Forbes Kerry? Has he been given a ride in the new Tesla?
Clinton has cankles, Kamala has cackles, and we get the kibosh.
I don't know if the third one quite works, but I like the effort.
I've got Joe Biden's favorite ice cream flavor. You ain't black, Barry.
That's pretty good. I still like Heavenly Hash for the whole family, because that's Hunter's favorite, Heavenly Hash.
Howie, Governor Bacon, Baker here. Tell me, was he wearing a mask when he called me that?
Did they seem to be having a good time, Taylor, or were they going through the motions just trying to keep the panic porn going?
That's difficult to say. Aren't they one and the same?
His voice didn't seem to be cracking as much, though, today. What was up with that?
He got a little more fiery towards the end of his diatribe when he was, you know, taking questions, giving answers.
He never gets any tough questions, though. That's the problem.
He gets tougher questions than Jen Psaki. Unless Peter Ducey's doing the asking.
Yeah, that's not saying much, though. It's a low standard.
That was your last chump line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
That's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. If you wish to leave a message, the number is 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. You can leave your message anytime between the hours of 1 and 4 Eastern Time every weekday afternoon. If you didn't hear your message or you want to just hear more Chump Line messages, stand by for Chopped Chumps. We post them after the show around 7 o'clock Eastern Time. Every night you can get Chopped Chumps, the messages that were left on the cutting room floor just now, wherever you get your Howie Carr Show podcast. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, saying if you want to score some big points in this week's challenge to win a trip for you and your best buddy to go fishing with Captain Marciano, you'll need to follow directions and get creative. Go to MatthewsBrothers.com and click on contact page.
Joe Biden here. I fired the Easter Bunny today because who the hell is he to tell me where to hide eggs? I can hide my own eggs. Not a joke.
Free major. The texters are texting in. No justice, no peace. Apparently two dog biting incidents make a dog vicious under some laws. Do you think a presidential pardon is in the future? Or a commutation to the farm? What are the odds these two bitten federal employees are going to go out on disability? I've seen people go out on disability for less than a dog bite, I'll tell you that. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
He's making talk radio great again. He's Howie Carr.
So we can all be quiet and peaceable and have a few beers together and listen to the music and not make any wrong moves.
Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. Get clinically proven blood pressure support with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews by visiting superbeatsradio.com/Howie. When you buy two bags, like the one I'm holding here, they'll throw in the third one for free. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie, superbeatsradio.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
What is the best nickname for Governor Charlie Baker? Tall Duvall, Charlie Parker, or Governor Bacon?
Well, at least for today, my favorite is Governor Bacon.
It's closing in on second place. 26% for Governor Bacon, 30% for Tall Duvall, and 44% say Charlie Parker.
Again, he wouldn't be the first Governor Bacon in the history of the Commonwealth. There was Gaspar Bacon, or at least he ran for governor. I can't remember if he won or not. I think he may have, or maybe he was lieutenant governor. I got to look that up. Anyway, Here's a feel-good story for today. It's definitely a man-bites-dog story. Biden owns four Pinocchios from Washington Post for false claim about Georgia voting law. The Washington Post fact-checker knocked President Biden today for falsely claiming a new Georgia law ends voting hours early, giving him its harshest rating of four Pinocchios for spreading the misinformation. What I'm worried about is how un-American this whole initiative is, Dementia Joe said. It's sick. It's sick. Deciding that you're going to end up voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off work. That was untrue. That was totally fabricated. You can vote in Georgia from 7 to 7 on Election Day. Apparently, you could vote earlier. You could vote until 7 o'clock and earlier. Let's see here. If you're in line by 7 p.m., you're allowed to cast your ballot. Nothing in the new law changes those rules. Again, this is Glenn Kessler, a Democrat operative with a press pass. Nothing in the new law changes those rules. However, the law did make some changes to early voting, but experts, oh, the proverbial experts, say the net effect was to expand the opportunities to vote for most Georgians, not limit them. Kessler also wrote Biden might have gotten confused because the new law clarifies that early voting can be conducted beginning at 9 a.m. and ending at 5 p.m. as opposed to the previous framing that noted simply that early voting shall be conducted during normal business hours, which is 9 to 5. But as noted, the law also allows individual counties to set the hours anywhere between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. So the practical effect of the 5 p.m. reference in the law is minimal. So the problem was that Biden said this. Nobody expects him to be any kind of coherent when he's speaking. But they put out a press release with the same falsehoods that he had sputtered out in his nonsensical ramblings earlier in the day. Many listeners might have assumed that he was talking about voting on Election Day, not early voting, but Election Day hours were not changed. An additional mandatory day of early voting on Saturday was added, and 2 days of early voting on Sunday were codified as an option for county. Somehow Biden managed to turn that expansion into a restriction aimed at working people, calling it among the outrageous parts of the law. There's no evidence that this is the case. And that was followed shortly thereafter by a call by some woke snowflake sports writers to take the All-Star game, Major League Baseball, out of Atlanta this year because of the racist voter suppression going on. Which was just totally false because, like sports writers, they hadn't bothered to do any research. I used to say sports writers were worse than news writers. I mean, more worthless. But it's kind of hard to tell the difference now. It's six of one, half dozen of another. 844-500-4242. You know, another thing they're lying about is the filibuster, about how bad the filibuster is and it's racist and, you know, all that kind of thing. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Senator Ben Sasse was talking about his friend. He called him his friend, Brian Schatz. He's the Democrat from Hawaii. Brian recently said, Senator Sasse said, that the filibuster is, quote, stupid and paralyzing. He also said it's time to trash the Jim Crow filibuster. But just 4 years ago, when Donald Trump was elected and House Republicans were itching to have the Senate eliminate the filibuster because Republicans controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House, Senator Schatz and a bunch of his colleagues actually penned a public letter that defended the filibuster and all of its, quote, existing rules, practices, and tradition, close quote, precisely because it advanced the deliberative purposes of the Senate. I'll finish this when we return. I'm Howie Dar.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. Let me just finish reading you this thing that Ben Sasse, the senator from Nebraska, said on the floor of the Senate about Brian Schatz, the senator from Hawaii, who was defending the filibuster as being great for, quote, its existing rules, practices, and traditions. I don't remember Senator Schatz then calling it the Jim Crow filibuster when he wrote that letter, or when he was blocking Senator Tim Scott's police reform legislation last year by pointing to the Senate supermajority requirement rules. Senator Scott, of course, being an African-American. And then they used the filibuster to block him. The Democrats. I don't remember Senator Schatz calling it stupid when he filibustered COVID relief in September, because they didn't want Trump to get credit for it. Remember that? They didn't care about getting the relief out. And again in October, under the Senate's current rules. Look, I want to be clear. I'm not picking on Brian. I'm naming him precisely because I like him, and afterwards we can argue about this. But that was then, and this is now, and they see that if they destroy the filibuster, they can destroy the voting integrity, election integrity in the United States of America. And that's the important thing, because we give Democrats control. 844-500-4242. This story just broke from Real Clear Investigations by Paul Sperry. He's a great reporter on the Russian collusion hoax. The headline is, "Meet the Russiagate prober who couldn't verify anything in the Steele dossier, yet said nothing for years." He couldn't verify anything. This is a recently declassified secret testimony before a Senate subcommittee. The top analyst, FBI analyst, assigned to the FBI's Russian quote-unquote collusion case, codenamed Crossfire Hurricane, admitted under oath last fall that neither he nor his team of half a dozen intelligence analysts could confirm a single allegation in the dossier. Not one. They always said, well, some of them were confirmed. What they meant was, Michael Cohen, yes, he was Donald Trump's lawyer. Prague is the capital of Czechoslovakia. There is a hotel in Moscow or St. Petersburg, including ones that the FBI nonetheless used in several warrant applications as evidence to establish legal grounds to electronically surveil a former Trump advisor for almost a year. FBI supervisory intelligence analyst Brian Auten, A-U-T-E-N, made the admission under questioning by staff investigators for the Senate Judiciary Committee during closed-door testimony in October. He said, quote, "The actual allegations and the actions described in those reports," meaning the dossier, "could not be corroborated." After years of digging, Auten conceded that the only material in the dossier that he could confirm was information that was already publicly available, such as names, entities, and positions held by persons mentioned in the document. His testimony kept secret for several months. If it was in October, so it would have benefited President Trump in his reelection campaign to have yet more evidence that the entire investigation was a hoax and a fraud. It's the first time anybody from the FBI has acknowledged headquarters failed to verify a single bit of the dossier evidence supporting the wiretaps is true and correct. Yet, despite the fact that they knew it was bogus, Auten and his Crossfire Hurricanes, who referred to the dossier as crown material as if it were valuable intelligence from America's closest ally, Britain, never bothered to inform a secret surveillance, quote, that the dossier was a complete fraud. Former acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe, who personally signed and approved the final application, has testified that without the dossier, the warrants could not have been obtained. It was paid for, of course, by Hillary Clinton, who used her surrogates to funnel $750,000 to the state Senate campaign of that same Andrew McCabe, who was named by the Inspector General of the Justice Department as having lied four times under oath. Perjury, obstruction of justice when being questioned by federal investigators. And at least one of the incidents was on the day he was sworn in as the acting director of the FBI. And as bad as any of the prior directors of the FBI were, I don't think any of them ever committed a felony on the first day they were sworn into office. But Andrew McCabe did. Now he's an analyst for either CNN or MSNBC. I can't remember which one it is. Meanwhile, Taylor has been researching my three beloved wise monkeys. People have been giving me grief saying I overpaid for them. Are they wrong, Taylor?
They, and I am in that category, are wrong. I regret to inform all of Howie Carr Nation, that the three wise monkeys that Howie purchased for $30 to $40 were, in John Kerry's words, a bargain. Retailing right now online for an average of $150, but anywhere from $50 to $300 you can find them for online.
Ha, 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 ha. See? I did well. I was at a thrift shop. And even though
you personally picked those out.
I did.
Okay. Good eye. I will respect another bargain hunter. Goodbye. Good eye.
Denise, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Denise.
Hello, Howie. I'm just calling in to tell you that I think that a gas on miles is very regressive and would punish a lot of the poorer people. And that being said, I think it's a racial tax.
What do you mean?
Is regressive. Well, people who live in the cities are often not as wealthy as those who live in the suburbs. They'd be chained within the boundaries of where they live. Every time they would go anywhere or travel, they'd be paying a tax per mile.
Yeah, well, I think it would be a regressive tax in the sense that it would take a higher percentage of people's incomes that didn't have a high income, as opposed to, as Joe Biden said last week, the average person making $1 billion a year, you know? And the gas tax overall is regressive. That's why it's so obscene for Charlie Parker to be trying to push a 150% increase in the Massachusetts gas tax without any kind of approval by either the legislature or by the populace. And this would just be rubbing salt in the wound if they had passed this this mileage tax. And it's not going away. I mean, this is like all taxes are negotiable. There's no such thing as a tax ever dying forever. I mean, this proposal may be sidelined for a bit, but it'll come back for sure. There's no way. It's just too good. I mean, it's like a toll. Once a toll goes up, very, very seldom does a toll ever come down. Just look at I-90, the Massachusetts Turnpike. The toll booths came down, but they still have those little gantries, as they call them, and they're still grabbing the money. They're grabbing more money than ever from you. Remember when the Tobin Bridge used to be a nickel, didn't it? And now then it went up to a quarter, and then God only knows what it is now. It's, you know, again, you don't see it. It's just removed from your account every month. Thanks for the call, Denise. Steve from Springfield, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Howie. How you doing? I don't think I'm feeling well. I'm feeling like I want to be a philanthropist. You know how we got all these empty school buildings in Massachusetts?
Yes.
We should just open them up and start getting citizen educators to teach these kids American history. I mean, we couldn't do any worse. I mean, I got some good books like Debunking Howard Zinn. I got a lot of books by Mark Levin. I got books on the Russian hoax. And I'm putting together a book of my own on the different evils of Marxism. You know how it.
How are you going to get the kids into these schools, though, Steve?
Oh, I don't know. Just whatever to do. You know, candy, free meals, whatever.
Yeah, they already getting free meals, even though they're not going to school. I think they're still getting the free meals, aren't they, in some form or another? I don't know, Steve. It's the parents have to be doing the educating, I think. I came from an era where you had to graduate. You had to take a course, pass a course in American history to get out of high school in Massachusetts. I don't think that's the case anymore. And even if it is the case, they're not learning real American history. As Steve just pointed out, they're learning Howard Zinn American history. They're learning 1619 Project history. And if it's such a bad country, why is everybody in the third world rushing to come in here? They must think differently of the country than our elite, trust funded, Birkenstock clad, goateed, squirrely looking elitists think. Daniel, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, Howie. Question. Since, you know, when you pay property tax on your house, home, or apartment, condo, whatever you own.
Yeah.
A lot of it goes to the school district, supports the school, and, you know, pays the teacher's wages. What do you think it would be feasible if this, you know, teacher strike continues in communities that are really affected by this? Can people get together and just refuse to stop paying part of their property tax, you know?
I think a couple of towns have, or people in the cities or towns have made that that argument before the local elected officials, but they haven't gotten anywhere. You called it a strike. That's a good way to describe it. But, you know, they're going to say it's not a strike, that it's a public health crisis. And they're just protecting the health of the children by not letting them come back to school. But you're right. It's it's not so much a strike. It's a work stoppage. That's what it is. They haven't worked, or they're barely working. And I don't blame you for being PO'd about it. I mean, if I sold my house in Wellesley, I have a condo now, so my taxes are a fraction of what they used to be. But if I was still paying a hefty property tax every year for the privilege of having my kids sit at home and get their quote unquote education on Zoom, I'd be pretty angry about it. Thanks for the call there, David. 844-500-4242. You just hit the jackpot. I have this amazing all-natural product that you need to try. Balance 7 is your one-stop shopping to help increase your energy level and help in your problems, whatever you have with digestion, heartburn, arthritis, and so much more. Check out balance7.com and learn why balancing your body is so important for the performance of your immune system. You've heard this promise from other products before, but Balance 7 really does what it says it will do. Simply drink a total of 3 ounces per day, and within 72 hours, most people begin to have more energy, greater clarity of thought, and just feel healthier overall. Order your one-month supply at balance7.com. Use code word HOWIEFREE to save $10 and free shipping. Be one of the first 50 to purchase Balance 7 and receive smooth skin, an exfoliant and deep cleansing skin conditioner valued at $13.99 for free. If you haven't hit the jackpot before, today is your lucky day. Order now and receive $10 off a 30-day supply, free shipping, and a chance to receive smooth skin conditioner at no charge. All by using my code word HOWIEFREE. That's HOWIEFREE. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return after this brief commercial break.
Maybe you know what a zombie is.
You see them sometimes, walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Howie Carr is back.
What's all that money going for that's being provided for COVID relief? We've told you stories in the past. Here's another one. COVID scammers in the news. A 57-year-old Boca Raton, that's where I am right now, man is accused of making phony claims to get more than $500,000 in federal COVID-19 relief money and using the cash to buy Rolex watches and a BMW. Barry J. Wolf, a former commodities trader who went to prison 2 decades ago in connection with a $2.1 million scam, didn't stop pocketing money that was to keep struggling businesses afloat during the pandemic. After fraudulently snaring money from the Paycheck Protection Program, PPP, and another federal business relief fund, Barry J. Wolf applied for and received $15,550 in unemployment benefits, according to an FBI agent. Before U.S. Magistrate Judge William Matthew this week, he appeared and was found too poor to pay for an attorney, and he got a public defender. He stole $500,000 and he's too poor to pay. On one application, Wolf claimed he ran a business out of his Boca Raton home that provided medical service, employed 24 people, and grossed $800,000 in 2019. In another, he claimed the home-based company offered personal services, had 12 employees, and took in $1.2 million before the pandemic hit. While some of his seven applications were rejected, he ultimately received nearly $500,000. It's like, just keep taking shots on goal. Sooner or later, one of them's going to go in, right? That's what you learn in hockey or soccer. That's what this guy was doing. Oh, God. In addition to buying two Rolexes and a $54,000 BMW, the agents say he also, his account showed he spent money on jewelry and made large cash withdrawals. There's no evidence he used the money to pay employees. There's no evidence he had any employees. David, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Howie, before I make my point, Biden was claiming that if you were dying of thirst, you couldn't get any water. They only said that if you were a Republican or a Democrat activist, they couldn't, to influence your vote. They go, but people working
right
there could give vote. Could give, you know what I mean? So he's claiming that. But
right, it's BS. It used to be a law, David, that they couldn't even open the bars on election day because they were afraid people would buy free drinks to get votes changed. You're not supposed to even wear a button or a campaign ribbon into a polling place. And you know, giving away water or food in a line is like buying votes. It's only natural to prohibit that. It's been done for centuries. Go ahead.
I was going to say, why isn't Trump? It'd be great theater if he was down at the border doing "I told you so's," or even
he's going to be. He's going down there, I think,
I mean, why
David.
But the "I told you so's" would be unbelievable.
I know. Well, I think he's going to do that. I think he's saying he's been telling people over the weekend that he was going to do that. And that whole thing with about Fauci and Birx last night that he sent out, that hilarious email that we read on the air late in the show. I mean, that was basically an "I told you so" when he pointed out that Birx got fired for telling everybody to stay home at Thanksgiving and then went to her own place. Thanks for the call, David. Steve, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Howie, I think Kamala could end the migration at the border problem very easily.
By laughing?
You know, there is a misperception that she needs to clear up, and she needs to explain to people in Central America and Mexico that this is a racist dystopia run by misogynistic white supremacists. And
right.
If she clears that up, they won't want to come here anymore.
You know what? That's exactly right, Steve. You know that this is a terrible, terrible country. I mean, look what we've done to everybody. That's how terrible every poor people have it. You know that they live in publicly subsidized housing with free food, free health care, free schooling, free public defenders when they go on crime sprees. Why would you want to move to a country like that? You know, where you don't have to go out and earn your living every day like you do in Guatemala or El Salvador or Honduras. Who would want to live in a place where you're not challenged every day by having to go to work and earn an honest living? Thanks for the call. When we come back, we'll be talking about Governor Bacon at the Heinz Convention Center today. I'm Howie Carr.